Hey, kids, you're dismissed to Sunday school and torchbearers. Sunday school back the hall and torchbearers downstairs. That's a slew of kiddos. Woohoo! Hopefully they ate their Wheaties today, the helpers I'm talking about. All right, so a couple statements as we get started, and then I'll jump into the message. Mike, feel free to open that window back there. I did turn the heat off. This is always tricky on Sundays when I get here because the heat was off all week. It's really cold. We turn the heat on. We all show up. We praise, and we're excited, and then it's baking. So, all right, couple statements. We're talking about love again today and relationships again today. And obviously, the Lord really wants us to grab a hold of this and get freedom in this because Pastor Kurt spoke about it last week. I spoke about it 2 weeks ago. And I had mentioned that it was, I could tell when I started it, it was a two-part sermon. So that's where we're going today. But just a couple statements to start out with. The more you're convinced that you are loved, the easier it is for you to love. So part of victory in this area is spending enough time with God and in the Word and in prayer that you become convinced that He loves you. And then it's easier for you to love others. So having said that, would you all agree that some people are easy to love, some a little more difficult? Takes a little effort. Yes. Okay. Then the one thing I want us to just pause and do while I'm getting my things set up and I have to get the Bible app up and going is think about the people here in the room with you and all the things that we've gone through together. Okay? Think about weddings and parties and competitions and bonfires and funerals, the things that we've gone through as a body, both good and that were difficult. We have a lot of history. Now, even though there are some newer folks that weren't here for some of that history, we still are starting even now to build those same memories. And so we have relationships that we cherish and that are very important to us and that we want to continue to build on. Hey, it opened up to the right spot. So welcome, everybody. Nice to see you. We have some folks traveling today, and that's true almost every Sunday with our body. When we have people that their hometowns are not here, then they have family to visit and all of that. So I want to start with just a real brief review. And then we're going to jump into our passages of Scripture for today. Jesus said, I command you. Okay, well, that's pretty clear. It doesn't say he suggests or it would be a good idea. He said, a new command I give to you, love one another. Now, if it was easy, he wouldn't have to make it a command. It would happen automatically. So he knows that sometimes it takes some work. It takes some effort. In the same way that I loved you, that is how you are to love one another. Oh, sure, Jesus, make it even more of a challenge. Because we could say, well, I love them, but do you love as Jesus loved? And the way Jesus loved was that he gave up himself for our benefit. Do we love like that? And then he says, everyone will recognize that you are my disciples when they see that you love each other. So it's pretty important if we want others to recognize that we are disciples of Jesus. We talked about the definition of love where it says, love is when one of my greatest needs is to see your needs met. That means I want you to succeed. I want you to do well. I want you to find God's will for your life, to pursue God's will for your life. And I want to help you get there any way that I can help you. I am happiest when you are happy. That's a great definition of love. Sometimes this involves a decision, and it involves a daily decision, depending on how easy or difficult the relationship presently is. But it does take a decision, and it was a command. All right, let's go today to our first scripture, and it's 1 Peter 4:8. So while you turn there, those of you that like to follow along, what does the scripture tell us is the most important thing about the Christian life? In what way are we to be most like Jesus? If you could choose all the topics, all the categories, what is it? Faith, hope, and love continue. They last. However, love is the greatest of these three. Love is the greatest of these three. In 1 Peter 4:8, it says that, depending on your translation, most importantly, or above all else. Do you see that? Most importantly, or above all else. Okay, so that answers the question for us, doesn't it? If we weren't sure what the most important thing is, if we weren't sure what was supposed to be at the top of our list of how we're supposed to be like Jesus, here it is. This is it. Okay? So if you have paper and you have your bulletin and a pen, the most important thing, keep or show deep love. Again, depending on your translation. That phrase, keep or show deep love, means work to maintain unfailing love. Work. What does the word work mean? Work means it takes effort. Right? Your jobs take effort. Cleaning up trash and leaves and limbs and bringing them to your father-in-law's to dump takes effort. Okay? Work means effort. All right. Above all else. Most importantly, work to maintain unfailing love for one another. Because love covers a multitude of sins. So we're going to camp out on that phrase for a little bit. So I am not very much prone to discouragement or depression. If it's going to happen, a lot of you know, for me, it's going to be October. There's just something about the spiritual warfare in the month of October for pastors, and me specifically, that it's when I have to battle through thoughts and things that don't bother me the whole rest of the year. So I was really thrilled that Stephanie and Marty prayed for leadership today. Yay! So the most valuable thing you can do for me in the month of October is pray for me. So anyway, one of the things that always helps for me, Scripture tells us that laughter is good medicine. So I like to watch I Love Lucy. Now, I don't know how many times I've seen some of these shows. It doesn't really matter. My wife will tell you, I laugh just as hard as I remember doing 20, 30 years ago with my grandmother who lived next door to my mom. I'd go over there and watch it with her. She'd laugh so hard she'd cry and get red in the face, and I'd laugh so hard I could hardly sit on the sofa. So I still really enjoy these, and it's a real encouragement to me. So I have a story today, but this time it's not a ha-ha-ha one, but I wanted to explain where Lucy came from. So there was this episode, and remember we said relationships take work. Love takes work. So I know this is hard to believe, but even in marriage relationships, you can get on each other's nerves. Is that right? No? Jack and Nancy, after all the... Really? After all these years, I have an amen. I have an amen. All right, even after all those years. So they're all in Ricky and Lucy's apartment, and they're spending the evening together, and they're driving each other crazy. So I don't know if you remember, but first, they were sitting there, and Ricky was doing this. And every time they told him to stop, he'd stop for about 10 seconds, and then he'd start it again. Lucy does something. I won't point out who does this that I know. But she had her coffee, and she put the cream in. And, you know, it only takes, I only stir twice, you know, twice around the cup. You heard somebody chuckling, so she's giving herself away. Some people stir it for 15 minutes. I don't know if they're trying to make butter in the cup or what they're doing. But, and then they don't use, you know, they like to use china cups. So it goes, clink, 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 clink. Okay, so that's what Lucy was doing. And they were saying, please stop stirring your coffee. Well, I want to make sure the sugar is dissolved. Yeah, that sugar is now turned into maple syrup or something. So then Fred has keys in his pocket, and he's going, jingle, 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 jingle. And so that's driving them all crazy. And then Ethel, whatever they're having, when she's eating, she's doing the slurping and the glurping and the finger licking. So, and they're saying, please. So they all got on each other's nerves. So the two ladies, they said, we have got to have a break from our husbands. Before they kill us, we kill them. You know what I'm saying. So they booked this vacation in Palm Springs. They're there about 3 days, and they are so bored and so lonesome. Now, I just was in Haiti. I go away to Elam. Honestly, there are some years that I can hardly stay there. I get so lonely because I'm used to my wife, my kids, now my grandkids. And if I go alone, then I'm up there in a hotel room, just me. Okay, so in 24 or 48 hours, I'm ready to come home. So I call her, and how are you? And then that just makes me worse. I shouldn't have talked to her at all. So this is how they were getting. And Fred and Ricky are at home, and the same thing is happening. You know, what are we going to do? You know, we did everything that guys can do, and now we're bored, and we miss our wives. Let's go see them. And they said, no, that'll just tell them that, you know, we miss them, and we're not going to let them win this. Right, guys? We're not going to let the ladies win this one. So they're trying to think of what to do, and they come up with a plan. They know somebody, and I think it's Rock Hudson, who is going to Palm Springs. So they talk with him, and then this is what happens. So Lucy and Ethel are sitting outside around the table, and they're talking about how much they miss their husbands, even though they do these things that drive them crazy. Okay? Overlooks a multitude of sins. So I am going somewhere with this story. And they're trying to think, you know, should we just pack up and go home? And so this guy sits down, and somehow they strike up this conversation, and they are saying about missing their husbands, and he says, well, yeah, and I really miss my friend. And they go, what happened? What happened? He said, well, I had this friend, and, you know, he did these things that got on my nerves, but I just found out last week that he passed away. And they go, oh, no. And they said, yeah. And they said, well, what was his annoying habit? And the Rock Hudson character says, well, all the time. He'd go, and he would just walk around, he'd go, and so they were like, well, that doesn't seem to bother me, but you know, all the time. And so Rock Hudson says, oh, if I just could hear one more little. So now Lucy and Ethel are starting to sniffle and they get their Kleenexes out. And he says, yeah, just one more little. And so he gets up and leaves. Well, see, of course, this was part of the plan. So now they're sitting there and they're like, oh, we shouldn't have been so hard on our husbands. And all it was key jingling and fingers on the counter. You know, I just wish we could get back together with them somehow. So, of course, Fred and Ricky show up. And they walk around the corner, and Lucy and Ethel run up and grab them and hug them and kiss them, and we're so glad to see you, and we're never again going to be irritated by the little things you do. Okay, well, we know that's probably not true. Okay, so love covers a multitude of sins. What does it mean when you love someone? It means you are willing to overlook things that may bother you that they do. Yes? Because do you realize that if you wanted to find something, you could find something in every single person you do that bothers you? How they say it, what they say, how they dress, how they smell, how they do their hair, how they drive. I don't care. You could find something if you wanted to find something. It's because of your love for them and the importance of your relationships that you're willing to forgive and overlook those kind of offenses. The word there for sin, where it says covers a multitude of sins, okay, that means where they disappoint or offend you. Disappoint or offend. Who knows that in their relationships? So think of some. Family, spouses, co-workers, neighbors. There is always something that disappoints or offends you. But love covers or overlooks a multitude, that means more than one or two, of things that others do that cause us irritation or disappointment. It's a decision that we have to make. It's not going to happen automatically. That's why it says that it is work, that it takes effort, because you have to decide, yes, that person clearing his throat is driving me crazy, but because I love them, I'm going to overlook it. Got it? So I have three questions I want you to write down today. And we're actually going to pause after each one for you to think of someone or allow the Lord to bring someone to your mind. So that's why we leave you space in your bulletin for notes. And some of you carry notebooks and tablets and so whatever. So the first question, and we did this 2 weeks ago and we did this last week. So I think the Lord wants to make sure that we get this right. Number one, who do I need to forgive? Who do I need to forgive? Okay. So you may still be working on the same person you named last week. You may still be working on the same person from 2 weeks ago. But just in case there's somebody else, let's just pause a minute and ask the Lord, who do I need to forgive? And then write down what you hear. Who do I need to forgive? All right, number two. Number two. Who do I need to encourage? Ah, okay, a little change. Who do I need to encourage? And see if maybe one, two, or three people come to mind. Who do I need to encourage? Thirdly, who needs to know that I am rooting for them? Who needs to know that I am rooting for them? Again, one, two, or three people. Who needs to know that I am rooting for them? Now, you realize that I am having you do this exercise so that you can actually work on that over the next couple weeks. So you can let the person know who you're rooting for, that you really are believing the best for them. You want the best for them. How can you help them achieve that? Who needs encouraged? Okay, that you would call that person and say, you know, can I pray for you? How's your week going? You know, how is that situation that I'm aware of that you would actually call and encourage them? And then the first question, who do I need to forgive? All right. And I was thinking it might be good if you don't always remember what Pastor Steve's sermons are about, which, you know, sometimes 3 or 4 days after I hear a sermon, I'm going, okay, what was that about again? Is that maybe you jot down this verse, fervently pursue and maintain a deep level of love for one another, because love forgives irritations and offenses. That's a modern translation of 1 Peter 4:8. Fervently pursue and maintain a deep level of love for one another, because that love forgives irritations and offenses. So I'm just saying, you might have time in the next week or two that you need to remind yourself of that, because I'm sure I do. Fervently pursue and maintain a deep level of love for one another, because that love forgives irritations and offenses. Oh, that was where we started. 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8. So we have two sections of scripture that we're going to read today, and then I'm going to give you some points from. So it's not that I'm expounding on them or spending a lot of time teaching from them, because I think they're self-explanatory. So I'm going to tell you what both of them are, and then we're going to read them both in a more traditional translation and then in the Message. So there's two sets of scripture. Romans 12, 10 to 18. Romans 12, 10 to 18. Okay, Romans 12, 10 to 18. 1 Corinthians 13, 2 to 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 2 to 8. So let's turn to the first one, Romans 12, 10 to 18. So first from the New American Standard. Give you a minute to turn there. Chapter 12, 10 to 18. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in being diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty. Associate with the lowly. Do not be too wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil. Respect what is right in the sight of all, and if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all. Some challenges? Yeah? Okay, so from the message. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on to dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice being second fiddle. Don't burn out, but keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master. Be cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in the hard times. Just pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't try to be somebody great. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. Get along with everyone. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. So I have 7 ways to be intentional about loving. 7 ways from that to be intentional about loving. If it takes work, then you have to be intentional about it. It's not just going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen by osmosis. It's not going to happen just because we spend time with each other. But 7 ways to be intentional about loving. Okay, you ready? Really love. Don't just pretend. Really love. Don't just pretend. Be a good friend who wants your friends to succeed. Be a good friend who wants your friends to succeed. Being intentional about loving. You want your friends to succeed. Don't quit being a friend when things get tough. Don't quit being a friend when things get tough. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit when things get tough. Pray for and then help those in need. Pray for them, but if there's a way you can help, help. Pray for those in need and then help. Pray for those in need and then help them. 5, be open and welcoming. Be open and welcoming. If people think that you're open and welcoming, they'll approach you. They'll open up and they will share. 6, share life with one another. Share life with one another. And 7, it is much more important to get along than to get even or to get ahead of. Think about that one. It is much more important to get along than to get even or to get ahead of. Much more important to get along than to get even or to get ahead of. See, these are things that we can read over this week, next month, next year, because they will be just as true then as they are now. And sometimes these things, I forget where I'm reading in my personal devotions right now. 1 Peter, maybe? But in one of them, I think it is 1 Peter, the author, so in this case it would be Peter, says like 3 or 4 times, I don't get tired of reminding you, or I'm going to remind you again, or I want to stir up in you. So it's good for us to remind ourselves of some of these things. 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, let me get there in both versions of the Bible here while you're turning there. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13, 2-8. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries, and have all knowledge, and if I have faith great enough to move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. Just think about that. If I could prophesy, if I had understanding into all the mysteries, I had all kinds of knowledge, and I could go out and say, North Mountain, move, I don't like you there, and it would move. I am nothing if I do not love. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, sold my house, closed my bank account, sold my vehicles, sent all of that to Haiti. If I deliver my body to be burned, that means for testifying for the gospel, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, is not jealous, does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not easily provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Okay, you ready? Message. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything as plain as day, and if I have faith that says to that mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, and if I get burned at the stake as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, without love, I am bankrupt. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut around, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others. It's not always about me. Doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score the offenses of others, doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in truth, puts up with things, always trusts God, always looks for the best in people, never looks to the past, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Some good stuff. So out of there, I have five depictions of love. Five depictions of love. And then we're done for today. Five depictions of love that we can see in that. This is the love that Jesus demonstrated, and this is the love that he commanded us to have. Okay? So just to be clear, when Jesus said, I want you to love one another, this is the love that he's talking about. Okay, not romantic love, not friendship love, but this love, agape love. This is what we're to have for one another. Okay? Love doesn't quit, stop, or give up. It doesn't quit, stop, or give up. Doesn't stop, doesn't quit, doesn't give up. It puts others' needs before their own. Second one, puts others' needs before their own. Puts others' needs before their own. Number three, this kind of love doesn't strive to get ahead by pushing others behind. Doesn't strive to get ahead by pushing others behind. Four, it applauds and rejoices when others succeed. Applauds and rejoices when others succeed. Applauds and rejoices when others succeed. And number five, always gives you the benefit of the doubt and always believes and wants the best for you. Fifth one, always gives you the benefit of the doubt and always believes and wants the best for you. Always believes and wants the best for you. So here's what we have to think about in conclusion. Which of my relationships look like those things? Which of my relationships have most of those seven ways of being intentional about loving and has those five depictions of love? And then which ones do not? Those that you identify that do not are the ones that God is putting his finger on saying, hey, Christian Life Community Church, this is where you could do better. If you're representing my son Jesus and loving like he loved, then some of those relationships are the ones that you need to work on. Amen? Sound good, Pastor Kurt? Okay. All right, folks, let's stand. So, Father, I thank you for this family that you have brought together. I'm thankful for the ways that we have grown in relationship to one another, the things that we've experienced together, enjoyed together. We rejoiced with those who rejoiced. We cried with those who cried. And, Jesus, we want to invite and extend those kind of relationships to others that you bring in, that they would feel that we want the best for them, that we're believing the best for them, that we're expecting the best of them, that we want to encourage them and strengthen them. So, Father, if we have relationships that we aren't doing that, first of all, we realize that we are not representing your son Jesus in those situations. Secondly, we realize that we are not being obedient to your command to love one another as Jesus loved. So we ask your forgiveness today, Lord, for every one of those relationships for the choices that we made to not love like Jesus loved, to not love like those definitions we just looked at in the Word today, to not be intentional about loving. Forgive us, Lord. And even as we heard prophetically today, you're willing to come and help us be what you've called us to be. And so if you've called us to be like your son Jesus, and most importantly, out of all the ways that we could be like Jesus, it's supposed to be love, then you want to help us to do that. So come and convince us today of how much you love us, and remind us of how greatly you love those people.